Escaping architecture school with your life was just the beginning. The profession is deadlier than you think. I'm Tennille, and this is Death by Architecture. Welcome to Death by Architecture, a podcast about true crime in the architectural, engineering, and construction community. Each episode, I will bring you a story about a crime committed in the AEC world. As one of the largest cities in the United States, Philadelphia has seen its fair share of crime, most of which end in fatal results. But in 2003, a devastating murder sent shockwaves throughout the city and across the country. It wasn't the sheer brutality of the killing that disturbed everyone, nor was it the sympathetic picture of the victim that his family and the media had drawn up. Rather, it was the fact that the murder had been committed by four teenagers, all of whom seemed to revel in the fact that they had callously slaughtered one of their friends. In today's episode of Death by Architecture, I will cover the case of Jason Sweeney, a teenage construction worker from the working class neighborhood of Fishtown, Philadelphia, whose date night with the girl of his dreams ended in tragedy. It was May 2003, and life seemed to be going great for 16-year-old Jason Sweeney. Unlike other teenagers, he had dropped out of high school to work with his dad on construction sites. However, his easygoing personality and incredible work ethic led everyone to believe that he was going places. He didn't have a buzzing social life, although he did have a best friend named Edward Badzik Jr., who went by the nickname Eddie. The two boys had known each other since they were in the fourth grade. He had also recently met Justina Morley, a 15-year-old local girl whom he was planning to take out on a date on Friday, May 30th. Even though it had only been 2 weeks since the two had started to go out, Jason already seemed to be head over heels for Justina. In fact, on the night before their date, he even told his mom, Dawn, that Justina was a really nice girl who Dawn would probably really get along with. However, Jason couldn't be more wrong, and unfortunately for him, his relationship with Justina would ultimately end his life. On June 1st, 2003, a body was discovered at The Trails, which is a wooded area in Fishtown that was situated close to the Delaware River. Its face was unrecognizable, sporting 9 different hatchet wounds and with only the left cheekbone still intact. The authorities who responded to the scene of the crime were disgusted by the gruesome discovery. However, they quickly set to work trying to identify the body. In the end, dental records and a distinct cut on the hand established that the corpse was that of Jason Sweeney. Detective Richard Reinhold, who had been tasked with leading the homicide investigation, quickly learned that Jason had been out on a date with his girlfriend the night before. The teenager had also planned to attend a party accompanied by his date, Justina, and his childhood friend, Eddie. The day after discovery of Jason's body, detectives went to speak with the friends that Jason was said to have been with on the night that he was killed. Eddie also led them to the home of the Coa brothers, 17-year-old Dominic and 16-year-old Nicholas, who witnesses claimed were with the group too. At the time, the police were working under the assumption that all four teenagers were potential witnesses rather than suspects in the murder of Jason Sweeney. But this theory quickly changed when Detective Reinhold, upon exiting the interview room, was told by his partner that Justina had pointed a finger at Eddie Batson Jr., claiming that he was Jason's killer. However, it didn't take long for Justina's own part in the crime to also be made clear to the detectives. After interrogating the four teenagers, Detective Reinhold and his partner, Detective Rossiter, were able to piece together the brutal and disturbing events that unfolded the night of May 30th. it emerged that Justina Morley had been addicted to drugs since she was 10 years old. When she moved to Fishtown, she began trading sexual favors for heroin, cocaine, and prescription pills. Among those who took her up on these exchanges were Eddie and Nicholas, both of whom were also dependent on drugs. Jason had met Justina through Eddie and Nicholas, not knowing that they often engaged in drug-fueled sexual escapades with each other. The three teenagers were willing to do whatever it took to get their fix, and when Justina learned that Jason was receiving a $500 paycheck from his job on the last day of May, it proved to be too tempting to resist. Together, they hatched a plan that involved Justina going out on a date with Jason before taking him to a secluded area of Fishtown under the guise of having sex. There, the two boys would rob him for his wages, which they would then use to buy more drugs. They also recruited Nicholas, his older brother Dominic, who also brought along a hatchet in case things got difficult. Unfortunately for Jason, the plan was executed to perfection on the night of May 30th. Jason arrived at the trails looking excited at the prospects of finally having sex with his girlfriend. Instead, he was pounced by Eddie, who struck him 4 or 5 times in the head, causing him to collapse in a semi-unconscious state. The boys were far from finished, though. All three of them began to savagely beat Jason, landing their fists upon whatever body part they could reach. In a frenzy, the Koa brothers also began to use an array of weapons against the pitiful teenager, including a hammer and a hatchet. As Jason lay on the ground, bleeding profusely and begging for his life, the three boys decided to pick up a large boulder and drop it on his head to make sure that he was really dead. And with that, 16-year-old Jason Sweeney died, his body brutalized, unrecognizable, and bearing the marks of torture that he suffered at the hands of his friends. But even with Jason's corpse before them, the four teens still weren't done. In a subsequent police interview, Dominic Koa admitted that they shared a group hug over the body, all of them feeling high and giddy over what they had done. He also confessed that, quote, "We took Sweeney's wallet out and split up the money, and we partied beyond redemption," end quote. The four of them wound up using Jason's hard-earned wages to purchase a slew of drugs, including heroin, marijuana, and prescription medication, Xanax. The teenagers were not shy about what they had done. In fact, many even claimed that they seemed to revel in the murder. Because of this utter lack of remorse, as well as the sheer brutality of their crime, the Fishtown Four, as they were nicknamed by the media, were all tried as adults. However, since they were all under the age of 18, none of them faced the death penalty. But the criminal proceedings against them were swift. By June 17th, a preliminary hearing was already being held, in which neither the judge nor the lawyers present knew what to make of the teenagers and their apparent lack of regret over their actions. More importantly, no one could understand why they had resorted to killing Jason instead of simply robbing him, since their main goal was to merely get his money. Later, Jason's father, Paul, claimed that, quote, "They were jealous that Jason was moving past them, growing beyond them as a good person. He wasn't hooked on drugs like the rest of them, and they wanted vengeance," end quote. While Paul was grief-stricken over Jason's unjust death, he, along with many others, were greatly disturbed by the details that emerged during the trial. For instance, Dominic Koa admitted that the group listened to the song Helter Skelter by the Beatles multiple times before the killing in order to pump themselves up. This song gained notoriety in 1969 when Charles Manson and his cult used it as inspiration to initiate a killing spree in Los Angeles that ultimately took the lives of 5 people, including the then pregnant actress Sharon Tate. The gravity of abuse that these teenagers inflicted on Jason was incredibly shocking, especially when the detectives testified that his body was so unrecognizable that dental records had to be used to confirm his identity. More than that, it was established that none of the teenagers were under the influence of drugs at the time of the murder. This only made the extent of Jason's injuries even more horrifying. To quote then Philadelphia Assistant District Attorney Judy Conroy, "The brutality of this case is beyond the spoken word. The injuries and the extent of those injuries and the amount of force necessary to inflict those injuries is unspeakable," end quote. In 2005, 2 years after the murder, Justina Morley was sentenced to a prison term of 17 to 35 years after she was given a charge of third-degree murder in exchange for her testimony against the three boys. On the other hand, the Coa brothers and Eddie Batson Jr. were given first-degree murder, robbery, and weapons charges, for which they received life imprisonment without the possibility of parole. In 2015, 28-year-old Nicholas Coa attempted to overturn his original sentence after the United States Supreme Court ruled that life sentences given to juveniles were a direct violation of the Eighth Amendment. However, it was upheld by Judge Sandy Byrd, who stated that, quote, "This is an uncommon case. There are no factors which remove the defendant from the punishment of life in prison without parole. Not only did he plan the assault, but he participated in the assault, which was so violent that Jason Sweeney had to be identified with dental records," end quote. This outcome was greeted with relief by Jason's parents, Don and Paul. His mother, in particular, claimed that she took solace in the fact that no other person could be exposed to the Coa brothers or to Eddie Batson Jr. But even with Jason's killers languishing in jail forever, Dawn Sweeney remains adamant that she will never have justice. For her, no amount of punishment that the teenagers were sentenced to will ever bring her beloved son back. Thanks for listening to this episode of Death by Architecture. I release new episodes every other Tuesday, so don't forget to hit subscribe so you don't miss an episode. Death by Architecture is also on Instagram, so check it out over at Death by Architecture Pod. Thanks again, and until next time, stay safe, everyone.